And now we come to our Bible reading, which this morning is taken from Acts chapter 17. Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens. He was troubled because he saw that the city was full of idols. In the synagogue, he talked with the Jews and the Greeks who worshipped the true God. He also talked every day with people in the marketplace.
Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers argued with him. Some of them said, "This man doesn't know what he is talking about. What is he trying to say?"
Paul was telling them the good news of Jesus rising from death. They said,
"He seems to be telling us about some other gods." They got Paul and took him to a meeting at the Areopagus. They said, "Please explain to us this new idea that you have been teaching. The things you are saying are new to us. We want to know what this teaching means."
All the people of Athens and those from other countries always use their time talking about all the newest ideas.
Then Paul stood before the meeting of the Areopagus and said,
"Men of Athens, I can see that you are very religious in all things. I was going through your city and I saw the things you worship. I found an altar that had these words written on it: to a God who is not known. You worship a God that you don't know. This is the God I am telling you about.
He is the God who made the whole world and everything in it. He is the Lord of the land and the sky.
He does not live in temples that men build.
This God is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else to people. He does not need any help from them. He has everything he needs.
God began by making one man.
From him came all the different people who live everywhere in the world. He decided exactly when and where they must live.
God wanted them to look for him and perhaps search all around for him and find him.
But he is not far from any of us.
By his power, we live and move and exist.
Some of your own poets have said, for we are his children.
We are God's children.
So you must not think that God is like something that people imagine or make.
He is not like gold, silver, or rock.
In the past, people did not understand God, but God ignored this. But now, God tells everyone in the world to change his heart and life.
God has decided on a day that he will judge all the world. He will be fair. He will use a man to do this. God chose that man long ago. God has proved this to everyone by raising that man from death.
When the people heard about Jesus being raised from death, some of them laughed. They said,
We will hear more about this from you later. And all the people said, Amen.
Amen.
Well, boys and girls and grown-ups, I don't know if you have ever been in a situation where you've got someone who is acting like they're your boss, and you know they're not. So boys and girls, maybe you've got a big brother or a big sister who just keeps acting like their mum and telling you what to do. Anyone particularly got it in that situation where they're telling you what to do, and you think, who made you the boss? They tell you to do something, you think, why should I? Or maybe there's a kid in your class at school who acts like they're this kind of self-appointed class prefect, and they're telling everyone else what to do, And everyone else just thinks, well, why should I? I've got a horrible feeling I was that kid at school, but never mind. Or maybe you've got a colleague who keeps acting like they're senior to you, and you know they're not, and they've got no authority over you. But there's something so annoying, isn't there, about someone who claims to have an authority that they just don't have. I don't know, maybe... I was hearing someone a while back talking about having gone into the post office, not our post office, a different one. And they'd wanted to do something. And the guy behind the counter kind of stood up and said, Madam, I am the deputy assistant sub post officer, sub postmaster. And just as soon as you're called the sub postmaster, you kind of lose quite a lot of authority straight off, don't you? But yet when someone is claiming the authority to tell us what to do, and they don't have it, there's something really frustrating about that. And I think that has spiritual implications, because if you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, then if you're thinking, well, the Bible says Jesus is the king. He's the boss. He's the one I've got to trust. He's the one who claims all authority to tell me what is good and what is not. Well, who made him the judge? Who made him my boss? Why should I listen to him? And maybe you're here as a Christian, and actually it's a little bit more subtle than that, but that same kind of question is going through your mind. It's not why should I listen, but just maybe should I listen? Can I trust Jesus? Does he have that kind of authority? I've said on the other night, I've had a few days that just been, I found really hard spiritually. I've been struggling with all kinds of questions. I've been reading about a friend of mine who's accused of doing some very, very serious things in a Christian. Other friends accused of, in a separate incident, of covering up things. Other friends who've been victims. And I've just had all kinds of questions. If God is that good, why does he allow it to happen? How can the gospel be true if people do such terrible things in Jesus' name? And why doesn't he sort it out? And I've been so grateful in that. Of these last couple of days, for Acts 17, verse 31, where Paul, speaking to a culture very like ours, where it's very rude to claim that there is only one God, and the idea that there's a life after death is a little bit laughable. Paul says this: he set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. So in other words, the Bible says Jesus is the head. He's the judge, but it's quite hard to think of things that rhyme with judge, and we'll see in a bit why that's important. Jesus is the head, because in the Bible, being a judge is a bigger thing even than we think of being a judge. The judge is your savior. He's your deliverer. By bringing justice, he's setting the whole nation free. The Bible says that Jesus is the head. He's the judge of the whole world. He's going to judge with justice. Now, I want us to have a go at thinking about how hard it is to judge the world with justice. And fortunately, someone is here to help me with that. Esau has come to join us. He's been working on his legal skills. He's taken some exams to be a judge, and he's got some. Isn't that a cool wig? There we go. There we are. Esau's got some questions for us. And if you've got the chat button or on the bottom, or the reaction button, you might like to do a bit of a vote on this. So Esau's first scenario that he's giving us to just kind of get a handle on whether we could do this job of judging the world with justice involves... It involves a couple of toddlers, young kids. There's a Fred and his little brother, Ted. Fred is playing with a toy, and he puts it down to get a snack or go to the toilet or something. Fred picks it up and starts playing with it. Ted picks it up and starts playing with it, little brother. When Fred comes back, he sees with anger that his little brother, Ted, has got the toy he was playing with and tries to snatch it back, at which point Ted gets really angry as well and wants it. Says, no, I had it first. No, I had it first. No, I had it first. All right, now let's vote. If you've got the reaction button, can you click on the, should we do the thumbs up? If you think Fred is in the right here, the older brother who had it initially, or Ted who picked it up the second time around. So thumbs up for Fred. And let's do the kind of shocked face for Ted. So thumbs up for the older brother, shocked face for the younger brother. Does that make sense? I'm looking to see any reactions coming up. Okay, we've got a thumbs up. Some shocked faces. Oh, it's split. Lots of people not voted yet. Lots of thumbs up. Sorry, I'm trying to swipe through. Total take. Okay, interesting. We are quite divided on this, aren't we? See, do you know what my answer to that is? I'd call Nikki and let her sort it out. See, if you can't sort it out, like if I can't sort out an issue between two toddlers squabbling over who had a toy first, how on earth am I going to be able to judge an issue between Israel and Palestine? Now, who's going to judge the world with justice there? Okay, let's come up Let's come up with another scenario. Fred and Ted are in a room on their own, and you suddenly hear loud screams and wails. And when you walk in, Fred says, "Ted just hit me." And Ted goes, "No, you hit me first." And Fred goes, "No, you hit me first." And Fred says, "No, you hit me first." All right, thumbs up for Fred, shocked face for Ted. Anyone want to have a go at working out who? I suspect all the older brothers. Shocked face from Ken, that's very good. Good shock face. Lots of it, general disbelief. Some people crying. Shane's crying. Shocked faces. All these younger brothers standing up for the younger brother. See, I don't know who did it. I didn't see it. And can you see if I can't judge between two young kids having a fight over who did it first, how on earth would I ever judge all those cases that turn up in court where she says he did it and he says he didn't? How are we going to judge that kind of scenario with justice? All right, Esau's got a third scenario for us. Okay, Fred and Ted are playing really nicely. They're at kindergarten together, at nursery, and in walks Ned, all right? And Ned is the kindergarten hooligan. He's only four, and he's 6'6" in every direction, and he can bench press three times his own body weight already. And he starts being mean to Fred and Ted. And we say, "Stop it." And he says, "Make me." See, there isn't really even a vote to have on this one. Like, what are we going to do? How do you stop someone who's just bigger than you? How can we be a fair judge without the kind of power to bring down the bullies? And if we can't do that at a nursery level, how on earth would we ever do that to China or Russia or the governments of the West? See, can we see how hard it is to judge the world with justice? Okay, Esau's going back in his box. He's got some more questions for us a little bit later. But can we see what wonderful good news Acts 17, verse 31 is? If this is true, it means that there is a judge who can handle those kind of things with justice. God has appointed the Lord Jesus as the great king who will judge the world one day. So it's as if in God's diary, there is a date, and we don't know what it is, but there is a date when it will be time for judgment. He has set a day when he will judge the world with justice. As if there's a big red button in heaven on the wall with a countdown timer next to it, and the time is running out, and God will press that button one day and say, "Enough, time is up, it's time for judgment." And there is someone who he has appointed, the Bible claims, to judge the world with justice. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. The question is, how can I be sure? How can I know that for certain? And we're going to think about that in a moment. Well, we've seen that Jesus, the Bible claims Jesus is the head. That's what Acts 17:31 says. God has set a day when he'll judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. But the question is, how do we know for sure that Jesus has that kind of authority? How do we know he's not like a bossy big sister or the sub postmaster claiming a kind of authority that they just don't have? And because when you walk into a courtroom, the judge, it's obvious who the judge is, isn't it? He's seated up a bit higher than everyone else. He or she's got often got a wig on or a gown or holding one of those kind of cool wooden hammers. I'm sure Sheree will tell me if I've got that wrong. But don't tell me if I've got that wrong. His Honour, Lord Justice Esau is here with some questions for us about proof. See, there are different kinds of proof, and Esau wants me to show a little bit of proof of a number of statements. Esau, my name is Simon Tompkins. You know that, don't you? You want me to prove it? Okay. Well, I've got a number of bits of proof here. I've got my driving license, both parts, and I've got my passport. I kind of got to use the wrong hand for this, haven't I? I should have thought that one through. I've got a passport here. There we go. Okay, yeah, Esau's helping me get that out. So we've got a passport. I've got a recent utility bill in there. Can I get that out? I've got my wife and my mum are here in the service. So I think they could testify that that's my name. Do you consider that sufficiently proof beyond reasonable doubt? Okay, they want to see a vote. Should we do a thumbs up for yes? That's proof beyond reasonable doubt. Shocked face. If you've no idea what I'm talking about, at the bottom of your screen, there's a little kind of reactions button. It might be under the more on the right-hand side if you're on a tablet or phone. Oh, we've got some thumbs up. Okay, so we're generally happy that is a good enough proof that my name is Simon Tompkins. Esau wants to know where I was at 7:30 on Friday evening. He's very suspicious. I was at the Good Friday service on Zoom, and there were about 25 people there, all of exemplary moral character, and many of them here now who could prove that I was there. They can testify to that. Do we consider that proof beyond reasonable doubt? Okay, should we do a thumbs up again? Thumbs up for yes, shocked face for no. Okay, we got some more. Oh yeah, okay, lots of thumbs up. That's good. All right. So Your Honor, are you satisfied with that? Okay, so Esau is telling me his title isn't actually Your Honor. Okay, Esau is saying his title is actually High King of Audley, Emperor of North Staffordshire, and Commander in Chief of Ravensmead, Wood Lane, and Richard Heathcote. Esau, can you prove that for us? Okay, he's saying because he said so. Now, do we consider, boys and girls and grown-ups, do we consider that good enough proof that Esau is the High King of Audley? Thumbs up for yes, shocked face for no. Let's see. Oh, we've got some shocked faces. Shocked faces, very good. Yeah, lots of thumbs down, very good. Okay, now the question is, what kind of claim is the claim that Jesus is the great judge? Is it one of those great, is it one of those kind of proved beyond reasonable doubts? Or one of those... So I'm going to put you back in your box because we generally don't consider you to be a commander in chief. What kind of claim is this claim that Jesus makes? Is it a because I said so kind of claim? Now, listen to that verse again that we read earlier. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Here's the line in from this verse. We know Jesus is the head because God raised him from the dead. We can know Jesus is the head because God raised him from the dead. So shall we just do, this is going to be so cringy that we'll remember it hopefully for the rest of the day. Jesus is the head because God raised him from the dead. If I say the first half, can you press space bar and unmute yourself and say the second half? Jesus is the head. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Should we do it one more time? Jesus, we can know yeah. Jesus is the head because
God raised him from the dead.
Brilliant. Well done. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for humoring me with that. All right. It's pretty cringy, isn't it? But hopefully we'll remember. Jesus is the head because God raised him from the dead, and we can know that. See, the fact that Christians do terrible things doesn't change the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. The fact that there are lots of gods in the world all claiming to be God doesn't change the fact that only one of them has been raised from the dead. Just think if the story that, with that little clip, that video clip we'd watched, had been different earlier. Imagine the Gospels tell us that the women arrived at the tomb and someone said, look, there's Jesus' body. And you'll kind of see him spiritually after death, sort of in a weird floaty world. You'll see him spiritually in heaven one day, maybe. See, that is a very, very different kind of claim, isn't it? That would mean that Jesus' claims to be the great judge are just a kind of because I said so kind of claim. Whereas we can know Jesus is the head because God raised him from the dead. He set a day when he'll judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. And as we close, I just want to draw out again that this is very, very good news. You see, if you're a Christian, who is your judge? Who is the one who will pass the verdict on your life at the end of time? You may think your life is not up to much. You may think you're fairly kind of insignificant or a failure. You may think you're a great success and wonderful. In a sense, it's irrelevant because who is the one who will pass the verdict on your life at the end of time? It is the Lord Jesus. And he is the one who has been raised from the dead, which means he knows what it is to die. He rose that first Easter Sunday. He died that first Good Friday. And he is the one who sees, who knows. He knows what went on between Fred and Ted when they're in a room on their own. He's the one who's powerful. He knows how to bring Ned, the kindergarten hooligan, back down a size. See, there is a judge on the bench over your life who loves you so much that he was willing to take the punishment that the defendant deserved. What kind of judge gives his life for a guilty defendant? Isn't that wonderful to know that the judge over our life is such a wise and compassionate, kind, risen Savior? And if you're here this morning, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. When you look up to the bench, who is the judge? When you see the face of the one who will pass the verdict on your life, isn't it wonderful that there's a face full of compassion? If we ignore the command in verse 30 to repent, well, then it'll become a very serious, stern, somber face because he will have to pass judgment. But it's a face full of compassion that longs to show mercy. See, the Lord Jesus, your judge, knows what it is to be a defendant. He knows what it is to be on trial. He knows what it is to face the ultimate punishment. He knows what it is to be released from that death. And so is the Lord Jesus like those kind of bossy, arrogant people who claim an authority they have no right to? Well, no, he is so different. He is the God who loves human beings, has given us just the judge we need, a judge who is full of mercy, full of compassion. And God has given proof of that to all men by raising him from the dead. Amen.